Alright, welcome to this edition of Street Cop Training Facebook Live, where we provide information for free. Just trying to give everybody some value today. The case we're going to talk about stems from New Jersey. Somebody just sent me a message in. I'm going to try to get him out of the way here. All right. So we're going to go live. We're going to do this video. We're going to talk about State versus Sloan. It has dawned on me that over the past few months, we've had a lot of new membership. We're up to over 12,000, about 12,300 people in the group. So there's a lot of guys who have, and girls who have joined this group and haven't had the privy and the privilege of having previous videos. And a lot of people aren't searching it. I would implore you to take the time to go into the functions of the group and go to the search. And if there's anything you want to look at, some guys will join the group and they'll watch every video I've done, which is good. But if you're not going to do that, I'm going to go over some things that I've gone over in the past. And generally, the world and the universe kind of tells me what needs to be touched on. And today, I happen to receive two messages regarding this exact topic. So I'm going to go over it. I'm going to cover it. And I don't mean to offend anybody who's watching it. If it's relevant to you and the things, the questions you pose, or maybe the person they've questioned about, that's not what the whole thing is about. It's a learning experience. So we'll talk about State versus Sloan. And basically, I'm going to give you the rundown of what happened in Sloan and what the court said. Basically, there's a cop in Carteret. He stops a car. And the person in the car, let's see. Parking lot. Blah, 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 blah. So two people try to jump out of a car and the officer orders back in the car and they sit in the car. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. So what happens is the driver can't, just want to remember, refresh my memory of the details. The driver can't operate the vehicle. So the passenger in the car says, look, I'll drive the car. So the officer says, okay, fine. I'll need your credentials. The guy says, I don't have any credentials, but gives his date of birth and social security number. And the officer goes back to the car, runs him, finds his license is suspended as well. But not only that, the guy has parole warrants and he's wanted. So they arrest him. They bring him back to headquarters. And at search since to arrest, they find cocaine in his shoe back at police headquarters. Now, what they're trying to suppress in this case is that the cocaine that was found was no good. They're not trying to suppress. What's up, Dan? They weren't trying to suppress the fact that the guy had warrants because that's not suppressible. Remember, if you find out or you execute something in an improper fashion, the warrant isn't presumed invalid, right? That's not how it goes. How it works is the stuff that you found may be fruits of the poisonous tree. So let me try to explain. Basically, the ruling said this. We hold at the time of the stop, the passenger, like the driver, was seized under the federal and state constitutions. We also hold that the police do not need a reasonable suspicion before they may access the NCIC database. Because the decision to check the NCIC database was within the scope of the traffic stop and did not unreasonably prolong the stop, there was no basis to suppress the evidence found. So what I'm saying is, we know that it's not violating the federal or state constitution. So in your state, you probably have the same thing going on. You can just run people. Now, there's another case that comes out later on. I'm going to read a little bit more out of this, but I don't want to lose my train of thought because you can see I jump around like a ping pong ball. My mind is crazy. It's called State versus Sirianni. It's out of Belmar, New Jersey with the W. And I forgot what year it comes out of, but basically what they said is when police ask for somebody's identification and they just pose the question, do you have ID, or request identification, not demand it, that's something called a mere inquiry. And you're allowed to do that under any circumstances. So if you stop a car and you're asking passengers with no reasonable suspicion for their ID, and they give it to you and you run them, they have a warrant, that's good to go. It's very different than illegally compelling identification when you have no underlying offense, like not wearing a seatbelt or ashing out the window or dropping, whatever it may be. You would need some kind of CDS offense, there's investigation going on. You need reasonable articulable suspicion to compel evidence, which means to demand it. But you need no justification to ask for the ID. And in State versus Sloan, what they're saying is once you get that ID, you can run it as well. And you need no justification for that as well. So I'm going to go into a few things. One is they talk about Brenlin versus California. So when you come to my class and I tell you that passengers aren't free to leave a motor vehicle stop, if anybody's ever told you that, they're friggin' crazy. And even in State versus Sloan, they reference Brenlin versus California. But I'm going to go through some of this. All those reasons lead to the conclusion that when a police officer conducts the stop of a private vehicle, the passenger as well as the driver are seized under both federal and state constitutions. That holding is consistent with the majority of the state court rulings on this issue. they'll name all the State versus Bauer, State versus Hayworth. There's a ton of cases in New Jersey where they agreed that when you get pulled over, the passenger is detained along with the driver and not free to leave. So for all the people who are telling people that you have to let passengers go, I've got about, I don't know, 20 or so cases that say you don't. Where are the cases that you have that says you do? If you hear that, you address that immediately. For the people who are in the academy, if you heard that in the academy, you address that immediately. If you reach out to me, I'll reach out to the right channels and get that corrected, because we're not going to have people getting properly trained on some of the most simple stuff in the state of New Jersey. Right? We're not going to permit that to happen. I will address whatever I can in the most diplomatic manner as possible. I got another thing in today from somebody. I'm not even going to say. You can guess. Somebody, some person was tasked with the duty of giving a case law search and seizure class and provided the most cockamamie details. And then when I provided my information back to give back to that person, they said, oh yeah, well, we agree with this, but, like, you know, that was just our opinion. Or that was just my opinion. Your opinion does not matter. What matters is the opinions of the Supreme Court, the appellate division, and the people who decide what the law is. Your opinion interjected into police functions is irrelevant. We don't need that. Now, I'll provide you with advice, but I don't give you an opinion on what I think. The facts are the facts, and I'll give you my advice on how I think you should handle certain situations in the field. But there's no opinions that are coming out of me contradictory to what the Supreme Court is giving us and the appellate division is giving us. It's not the game I play here. Let's see. Thanks, Rick. I saw your message. Appreciate it. Applying that standard, Sloan was seized at the time of the traffic stop. When officer, it's a Polish name, I'm a Port Reading kid, the Carteret guy, sorry, I can't say it. I think it's Muchka, ordered Moore to stop her vehicle on the suspicion that she was driving with a suspended license. Sloan's travel was curtailed. Sloan then got out of the car, and the officer promptly ordered him to return to it. Sloan complied. A part of what may any reasonable person might have thought, Sloan was in fact not free to leave. Magic words for anyone who's been told under any circumstances that somebody's free to leave on a traffic stop and they're a passenger. They're not. Says it right here, was not free to leave. Although he was a passenger and not the driver, he was temporarily seized. The court saying that. When Sloan and Moore jumped out of her car and approached the officer, he ordered them back into the car. The officer's concern for his own safety justified that reasonable command. See State versus DiLoretto and some other cases as well. And I'll copy and paste all this stuff. You guys can reference it. So when you have somebody who's projecting their opinion, not based on facts, back to your face, you could say, read this, dude or ma'am, and let me know where your opinion's getting projected from. Where are you coming up with the answers that you're giving us? Because you know what? We got it on paper. And good for the guy this morning who addressed that with the instructor that he had. And he told him, well, I'm going to do it my way. I have it on paper saying that my way is the right way and you don't. And the guy then came back after he's provided information where I gave 7 pieces of case law to justify that guy's response to that person who was teaching that course. And he said, well, you know, that's my opinion, though. We don't need your opinion. You are improperly training police officers. You are undoing the things that we are doing in this group in the state of New Jersey. It is not correct. I am not here giving you guys false things. I'm reading case law, literally, from the consent decree and the opinions of the courts. There's no arguing with it. It's the truth. You cannot argue with this stuff. You cannot put your own opinion. You cannot misinterpret it and change things because you don't feel comfortable with it. The facts are the facts. You know, a guy called me yesterday and he said we had a conversation with him and his original FTO. And I said, we were talking about providing Miranda or reading Miranda on motor vehicle stops. I said, regardless of what people want to believe about arresting somebody for the odor of marijuana in New Jersey, there's plenty of case law that says it's good to go with CDS offense. So when you're stopping a car and it smells like weed, you should be reading Miranda because the court, although you haven't had somebody handcuffs, is going to deem that at that junction to be the time that person was arrested. Okay, sorry, the phone rang. That's what's going to happen. So when you don't read Miranda and you begin to pose questions designed to elicit incriminating statements, what's going to happen is they're going to get suppressed. So if the guy says, well, yeah, I have a gun in the trunk of my car. Well, we know that's PC to go into the trunk. But when you pose the question because the car smelled like weed of, do you have anything else in the car? We already smelled the weed. And he says, yeah, there's a gun in my trunk. That's going to be suppressed because the statements, basically he was in custody. The guys in the court's going to tell you, yeah, he was in custody. And you might say things like this. Well, you know, I've had that happen and nothing ever happened. Yeah, I get it. Like, I get that there's defense attorneys who have no fucking clue what they're doing. I get there's all sorts of people in the judicial system have no clue and have never taken the time to read these cases. But you know who has? The good ones. The good prosecutors, the good cops and the good defense attorneys. And when a good defense attorney goes up against a cop who has never read any of this stuff and wrote a report that has fucking tons of holes in it, it's a leaky bag of shit. Like, people send me reports. I'll chew your report up to shreds if you're not schooled on this stuff. Guys call me all the time. Hey, can you look at my report? Yeah, you're fucked. Like, why would you do it this way? We didn't know. That's what the videos are for. So you do things properly so that when they try to hold up this stuff to poke holes in your case, they have nothing. You've done things to the way the courts wanted you to do them. That's what this is all about. I want you guys to write cases and write reports and have locked, airtight shit so you don't get suppressed. So your department doesn't get sued. And to the people who sling mud and cast mud and throw shit at this group or the teachings that I do, you just come from a bad place, and the truth hurts. So no denying the truth. Oh, that guy's doing a lot for law enforcement. That's what that guy's doing. So, all right, let's see. Let me go to a little bit further, some more stuff. Here's another one to address. I've been hearing this one a lot lately. Well, you know, we don't like holding cars past 20 minutes. You know, we don't like holding cars past 20 minutes. My sergeant's not happy with that. My coworkers think it's too long to wait for a dog. Oh, is it? Is it? Under what pretenses? Now, don't read case law and say a motor vehicle stop cannot be prolonged for, and get that screwed up between a criminal motor vehicle stop and a stop where you're pulling Joan over doing 41 and a 25. That's something without reasonable suspicion, and that you can't prolong the stop for. But when you're building up a case, just like it says here in State versus Sloan, let me read some of the things that came out of that case. There is no litmus paper test for determining whether a seizure exceeds the bounds of an investigative stop. That's the Dickey Super. They're quoting there, quoting Florida versus Royer as well. And when they quote Florida versus Royer, guess what that means? They saw this ruling from another state or U.S. Supreme Court, and they said, we like this in New Jersey. We will take the rulings from this and interject it into our rulings here. Common sense and ordinary human experience must govern over rigid criteria. Strong words for all those who think they can't hold cars while they're investigating something. You think you're on a timer, like an egg timer. You're wrong. Here's where it says you're wrong. Okay. In addition, police conduct during a traffic stop must be elevated within the context of unfolding events. Interesting. They said that in New Jersey case law, yet we're all so uncomfortable with having, because you're uneducated, because you don't know what you're talking about, because you haven't taken the time to read this stuff. That's why. So instead, it's la, 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 and it should be, oh, look, hey, guys, we got this. Like, no, you can complain all you want. Like, look, it says it right here. Nick, I'm going to get to your question in a second. In this case, there's no evidence in the record that the check of the NCIC database unreasonably prolonged the detention. It appears that the check was conducted simultaneously with the check of Sloan's license. That is not unusual in light of advances in technology. What once required a call to a dispatcher, a physical search of documents, can now be accomplished swiftly through computer transactions. Today, an NCIC query can produce a response in approximately 0.5 seconds, 40 years of NCIC Supra. As a result, when law enforcement officers elect to conduct an NCIC check, they can and should act with dispatch to avoid prolonging the stop for more than a brief period of time. This is not a reasonable suspicion. This is just checking people on a mere field inquiry. You're allowed to do it. Accordingly, the police do not need a reasonable suspicion to check Sloan's name in the NCIC database. Because accessing the NCIC database was within the scope of the traffic stop, it did not unreasonably prolong it. We hold that the police acted within the boundaries of the federal and state constitutions throughout the traffic stop. Very interesting. We find that no reasonable expectation of privacy attaches to criminal history information within the context of the Fourth Amendment or Article 1, Paragraph 7 of the state constitution. That's very interesting language as well. So, for the naysayers, you have to argue with me. Argue with the Supreme Court. Argue with the appellate division. I'm not making this stuff up. I don't really know these cases. I read them and just break them down so you guys can understand them correctly. So when you're doing something and it's improper police behavior in the field and you get in trouble or you did something wrong, guys, half the stuff that I put in this group, I can't even put up half the stuff that gets sent to me. Half the things, half the stories that are being told, half the great arrests that I get. I had one yesterday. I'm going to put it into the group. I mean, what a phenomenal job. I can't put it in the group, and I respect that. That's fine. But you guys don't even see like half the stuff that I'm seeing. It's crazy. So what's going on here addressing these things? you don't have to believe me. You don't have to like me, but you can't dispute the truth. That's all I'm saying. You can't dispute factual evidence. You cannot dispute a million years of how the human brain began to work and body language, how people are going to react when they encounter a moral person committing an immoral act or an immoral person committing an immoral act and an amoral person committing an immoral act. You just can't, you can't dispute that things are going to happen and things aren't going to add up. And I don't care what your position is on. Do you think that, well, police work these days is not like that. Police work these days may not be like it for you and your agency, but there's a lot of agencies out here doing a lot of good work. And crime hasn't stopped if you haven't noticed. And you know what? Maybe our crime, maybe your agency is not concerned with interdiction and finding drugs and bad people. But when you're ignoring, we tell stories about people who've interdicted kidnappings. And there's been cases, I think there was one case, I'm quite sure about it, that they interdicted a guy going to do a mass shooting. And he was stopped and had a shootout with the police. I don't know where that was. If somebody can comment on that. I remember reading that article. Now, again, did it get a lot of headline press? No, because the media doesn't, that doesn't, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And that didn't have any, and I'm making a political opinion about it. It's just the truth. Can't dispute the truth. All right. You offer to do a free course if we drive more than 3 hours. I'll do you one better. I'll pay your hotel bill if you come to Wisconsin. Yeah, dude, you got to pay a lot more than my fucking hotel for me to try to come to Wisconsin. First of all, I'm not coming anywhere up there ever again in the fucking winter. So you got to wait for the weather to break. It's got to be like 60 degrees because it's frigging cold up there. And dude, I'm not coming to Wisconsin because you think that you're going to pay for my hotel room. I appreciate the offer, but that's ludicrous. If you want to put a class on, I've said it before, we look for 30 paying members. It's a big travel expense. I spend a lot of time in this office working to give you guys the best quality content that I can. We have a lot of stuff going on. And I have bills to pay. I have salaries. I'm going to introduce everybody. We're doing a video right now to introduce everybody who's on the team here. We have a graphic designer. We have a videographer. We have an admin. Most of you have met her. Like, I got salaries to pay here, boys and girls. I can't just do things for free, unfortunately. But we'll come out here. We provide content. I'll provide as much content as I can. And I'll make sure that whatever class you come to will be one of the most powerful police training classes you'll ever see in your life. And the stories of people, you know, is there one dude every fucking four classes that didn't like it? Sorry. But for the other 99% of people who come to the class and say it's the best training class they've ever had, I take a lot of pride, put a lot of my heart and soul in it. I knew what we needed. And that's where it came from. So I promise you that you'll get 10x your money and your department's money on their return on their investment. So Matt, yeah, haha. All right, let's see. What did I travel for? All right, that's irrelevant to this thing. Yeah, you marked me down as a hard maybe. You might want to change that, cross out the M-A-Y-B-E and put no. Sorry, dude. But if I can do anything for you guys, you know, I'm always available, and that's the resource you have. And as we continue to grow, I plan to stay as you know, in touch with everybody as possible. So spend a lot of time all day long answering messages and going through stuff and helping you guys do this job better. So you.